Thank you, Jake. Now we will move to number nine, mountain lion hunting season.
Good afternoon again, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, John Canta, Terrestrial Section Chief. I just wanted to kick things off here, and I'm going to turn it over to Andrew Norton, our Wildlife Program Administrator. He's going to give you some background information and then roll right through the details of the recommended changes to the mountain lion season. And then we'll both be available for some questions and discussion with the Commission. What I wanted to start with, Madam Chair, and you kind of alluded to it with some of the discussion over the petition and during the open mic with mountain lions there. But I wanted to just point out that this recommendation it's a product of many conversations. Staff and commissioners and others meet with a number of different individuals on different opportunities, whether it's one-on-one or at stakeholder meetings, but just a number of those different input opportunities. And that, of course, includes the Houndsman Association and other groups like that. As with many opportunities that we offer, you know, there's several interested parties and they all have some differing opinions or interests, if you will, in those different subjects. And so just wanted to point that out that we do spend a lot of time and take that very seriously, trying to gather as much input we can from all interested parties when we try to put these recommendations together. But with that, I'll turn it over to Andrew.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Commissioners, Secretary Roebling. I believe maybe Chris or Nick, could one of you pull up the presentation? Otherwise, I could share the screen.
Yeah, why don't you just share the screen, Heather? Thanks.
I'll introduce myself, even though John Cant had mentioned I'm Andrew Norton. I am the Wildlife Program Administrator working out of the Rapid City office. And just check real quick here. I believe you can see the presentation, and I'll go to full screen and hope you can still see it.
We sure can. Yep, go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you. So I'm going to give a brief background on mountain lion status update and then move into our recommendation. This is not going to be a comprehensive coverage of all the data that we monitor. You've heard from Andy Lindblom in the past, Byron Buckley. There's a whole lot more information that we monitor, but I want to keep this fairly short and succinct. Limit the presentation to just the Black Hills, as you've heard a lot of the discussion at the public forum and the petition. That's where a lot of the focus is. Definitely appreciate the high interest from our stakeholders and the comments we received. I know there was one comment this harvest this last year, 52 was the highest ever. Even though this figure here, it might appear that way with just the last 10 years, that's not the case. There's been 3 years in which the harvest in the Black Hills exceeded the 52 animals that were shot this year. But importantly, today I want to focus just on the last 10 years and that is kind of a period we're monitoring for a couple of reasons I'll get into in the presentation here. And I'll start off going through what the trends have been the last 10 years in lion mortalities in the Black Hills, and then I'll move into some other information we use to hopefully get a more reliable feel of where the population is relative to the objective. The green line here is the total mountain lion harvest in the Black Hills, and the blue line is all other mortalities not related to harvest. And there's several reasons why, for harvest in particular, we don't use that as an index to population. I know a lot of times people might want to say, well, gee whiz, 2019, that harvest went from an average of about 30 the previous 4 years up to an average of 45. That population must have increased. Had I not put this arrow in there showing that the season was extended 1 month, one might infer that, but caution not to use harvest as an index to population trend because hunting regulations changed that, as you can clearly see here, that additional month increased harvest. Snow conditions, you heard that several times, they can influence harvest dramatically. In fact, this past year, maybe not throughout the entire hills, but for sure in northern hills, we had excellent snow conditions, multiple snows, even some good snow in April. And that almost certainly increased the ability for lion hunters to get lions with our boot hunter component in the Black Hills. And then the last thing I want to say with harvest is, again, one might falsely assume that a high harvest means a higher mountain lion population, but we also obviously need to take into account what that harvest does. If we're removing a high number of females, that's going to have effect on the population the next year. And we've definitely seen that number increase from before the extension of the season. That number might have been lower, well below 20 every year, and in the last 6 years that's averaged about 26 females, and in fact the last 2 years it's 29. So we've seen that number increase, and that is certainly going to potentially have an effect on the population. So one other way to look at harvest, try to adjust for that by accounting for the amount of effort. We survey all our lion hunters every year, and we get over 1,000 responses, and look at how many days they hunt. Again, not much inference we can make from this with the dashed gray line. We see that jump when the season was extended, probably boot hunters being able to more optimize and pick and choose which ideal snow conditions they want to go out on. So their harvest per unit effort went up. Not a detectable trend there. I suppose if you fit a regression line to the last 6 years, you might see a slight increase in that harvest per unit effort. But it's important to note none of these metrics on this figure come with measures of precision. So I'd say there's a lot of uncertainty in what we call sampling variation that comes with that, wouldn't lead me strongly to believe there's a strong signal there of more lions in the last 6 years. What I also want to point out with this figure is what you've heard. There's this dynamic between individuals hunting with dogs and individuals hunting without dogs, and I've included that note at the bottom. 62% success hunting with dogs, that's based out of a 2 week season in Custer State Park. So limited area and only 2 weeks, and they still are able to harvest mountain lions at over 15 times the success rate of hunting without dogs, where those individuals have access to the entire Black Hills. To think about that differently, it takes last year on average one boot hunter about 200 days to harvest a mountain lion. Hunting with the use of dogs, especially if they had a larger area, you could potentially harvest a mountain lion in 1 to 2 days if you have adequate snow. So that is a little bit of the challenge we deal with. I believe one of the individuals speaking at the open forum talked about the total number of hunters, but then also those success rates. And you can imagine if we have 2,000 boot hunters in the Black Hills, there'd be some compromise if we wanted to shift that harvest to a different user group. Back up once here. So I want to focus on another index that isn't related to snow conditions. It's not going to be related to effort or hunting season structure, and that would be our non-harvest mortality. I believe Commissioner Beese asked a question about this last year when we were meeting in Sioux Falls. We do see variation in this blue line. That's our usually it's going to be public or game fish and parks removals, but it might be lions hit on the road in the Black Hills. We see bounce between approximately 10 and 30 animals each year the last 10 years, but if you fit a line to that through those 10 years, that would almost certainly be flat. And I think this slide does a great job of illustrating we really don't want to make inference with a 1 to 2 year trend. You can see from 22 to 24 it increased, but then it came back down last year, and that's happened throughout the sequence here. It goes up and down and maybe settles in on somewhere in the high teens and in a pretty flat line. So from these two indices, maybe a suggestion of a slightly increasing if we just looked at harvest, but then no trend whatsoever from non-harvest mortalities. And so what we try to do is get a more robust and reliable measure on that trend in the population, and this leads to our population estimate. I believe Byron and Andy have both talked about this in the past. This is where we spend on average about 600 hours with several individuals with dogs that go out in December before the season. They collect genetic samples from lions and they can individually identify those animals. With that consistent measure of effort of about 600 hours, we get a good idea, not even looking at a population estimate, but a good idea of what their catch per unit effort is. So you can see the first 4 years here, those blue bars are much higher. That's over 10 lions marked per 100 hours of effort. So you're marking over one lion every 10 hours. Whereas you can see the last 2 years, that number dips down to about five. So that's marking one lion every 20 hours. So this figure would suggest an alternative trend of potentially a decreasing population. However, I'll get to the actual population estimate, and we use that for a reason, primarily so we can get an actual estimate and have a measure of precision. Why do we need a population estimate? Because we want to focus in on where we are at relative to this population objective in the Black Hills of 200 to 300. It's important to note in 2019, the Lion Action Plan was revised in 2024. That Lion Action Plan was revised again. I'm sure commissioners are very familiar and remember last year we went through this process and had a really good discussion. Each time we go through that revision process, the population objective is probably the number one thing that's talked about. We have good discussion with stakeholders, including some of the individuals that spoke today. We do public opinion surveys. We look at all sorts of other biological data, and both times decided that while there's definitely a contingent of individuals that want more lions, there's also a contingent of individuals that want less lions, and that's the challenge not only with lions, but certainly with the situation here we deal with. You can talk to one individual, probably one in four in the room might say we want more. You pick another individual, one in four, and they'd say we want less. But what we consistently see is 40 to 50% of our hunters and a little bit more of our general public want the lion population to stay the same. So that's ultimately what we're really focusing on, is what do the data tell us as to whether that population has changed drastically over the last 10 years. So I'll show that here in this figure. And there was mention of that population estimate being higher this past year, and that certainly was the case. You can see it with the gray dashed line, that population went up. And there's also the gray shaded region that shows the uncertainty. So the real benefit we get from this, even more so than the population estimate, is that uncertainty. And it really illustrates trying to de-emphasize that exact point estimate. Excellent examples in 2017, 2018. That estimate came out to be over 500 animals. We wouldn't believe that because we know biologically from the estimate the year before and the estimate the year after, that population could not increase from 300 to 500, and it is not going back down. So what we do is we account for that uncertainty, that gray shaded area, and then we take a 3-year average to tie those population estimates from year to year together to make sure that they're more biologically reasonable. So for example, this current estimate, we don't have anything from next year. But next year when we get an estimate, we'll be able to take that 3-year average and see if we do get 2 or 3 years of successive increases in population, we're going to have confidence that population is changing. However, again, similar to maybe those non-harvest mortalities, there's not a strong signal here. One could probably stick their neck out and say it may have been increasing for the first few years and then decreasing the last six. But I wouldn't even venture to say that. What I would say is we've got good, reliable information here to say the mountain lion population in the Black Hills is not substantially increased, nor has it substantially decreased in the last 10 years. There's probably a lot of shifts in distribution. That's why you'll hear from some people that the numbers are way down. Well, they very well could be down where they go out and hunt, but that's obviously why we try to look at the system as a whole and look at a variety of pieces of data. And I haven't even mentioned our trail camera information we have from the 250 cameras throughout the hills. But again, the take home here, I believe, with this 3-year average is we don't feel like we are substantially in or out of this, substantially out of this population objective, and there hasn't been a substantial change. We'll be very interested to see what happens in population estimates the next 2 years, especially if the department's recommendation here is moved forward. So I'll move into just this last slide as kind of a suggesting the recommendation here, and then I'll actually switch over and unshare my screen, and maybe we can pull up the recommendation sheet itself. But what the goal here is this comes down to more of a social issue. If you'll take the biological information and in agreement that we seem to be, even though not everyone's going to say we're at a good objective, the majority of people seem to agree that we're at a good place. So this comes down to how can we maximize opportunity and balance competing interests here, whether it be someone that wants to hunt with a dog or someone that wants to hunt without a dog. And we definitely feel there's some opportunity in the Black Hills for compromise, and we feel that this recommendation will provide that. You can see in this left figure here, a lot of the, ignore Custer State Park for the time being, a lot of the harvest occurs in the central Black Hills, going west from Pactola, and then in the northern Black Hills by Whitewood and Spearfish Canyon. And then as you go south and east, you see much less harvest, with the exception of Custer State Park. That harvest is higher there because we have 15 access permits in which you can hunt mountain lions with dogs, and on average, there's that 62% success on those permits. So what the recommendation would be is we definitely are getting some more reports, as Director Kirschman mentioned, in the southern and eastern Black Hills. We definitely hear from the individuals that want to hunt with dogs, they want more opportunity. We feel that can be possible without significantly affecting the population to expand hunting opportunity to this area in the hashed region. So not just Custer State Park, but all of what would be Southern Elk Unit 3 and Elk Units 4 and 9 east of Custer State Park there. Definitely some lions down there. Historically, we don't see a lot of harvest from our boot hunters and think this would be a great opportunity to take those 15 access permits and not only allow them at a wider geographic scale, but also increase the length. So instead of being limited from 2 week intervals, they would be now 3 week intervals consecutive throughout the season. Also, Director Kirschman mentioned this isn't just expanding opportunity for people hunting with dogs. It's also increasing opportunity for individuals that want to hunt without dogs in Custer State Park. Previously, there were access permits required there, and our recommendation would be to do away with those, and anyone with a mountain lion hunting season license, provided the limit of 60 total and 40 females isn't met, could hunt in Custer State Park. And with that, I'll probably exit out of this and stop sharing my screen if I can figure that out. See, hopefully it stopped sharing, and maybe Chris or Nick or Gail could pull up the agenda item number 9 if they have that handy. Thank you very much. So, I'm just going to run through the season again. We have revisited this every single year, so I won't go into the details of requirements and restrictions, but this would be a 2 year proposal for the next two mountain lion hunting seasons, Chapter 4106-02 and 4106-61. There's two separate seasons primarily. There's the Black Hills Fire Protection District, and then outside the Black Hills Fire Protection District. Outside is going to be year-round, no limit, with the exception of one lion per individual. Within the Black Hills, we've got this harvest limit. Importantly, that's not a quota. We're not trying to kill 60 total lions or 40 females. That's just a maximum. And that, again, speaks to the variability of hunting season conditions. If we have really good snow, we expect high harvest. Poor snow, we're going to have really low harvest. That season runs from December 26th to April 30th, and that would again be for the next 2 years. Those five intervals with three permits in which an individual can hunt with hounds would be increased 3 week intervals, and the area for that would be expanded. If maybe we pan to the next two pages, and figure one, I believe, will show there, we'll just show again those figures that I showed in the last slide. Also, the population trajectory and that smooth 3 year estimate that's weighted based on the uncertainty we have with those estimates. So again, our proposed changes are to expand that area in which an access permit with the use of dogs is valid to include those areas in figure one in the hashed area, increase those interval lengths from 2 to 3 weeks, and then no longer require an access permit to hunt in Custer State Park without the use of hounds. We can go forward to the administrative rule, but that gets fairly complex following the road boundary changes. It just matches exactly what that southern unit, Elk 3 unit, I think it's EFG for antlerless hunting, and then Elk Unit 4 and 9 east of Custer State Park and southeastern Black Hills down there by Angostura. And with that, I know we've had a lot of discussion on this, but certainly myself or John Cantor are happy to take any questions, but would ask the commission if they agree to move forward with this recommendation and make it a proposal, which would be finalized at the September meeting in Rapid City.
Very good. Any questions from the commission? Comments? Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, with those access permits, we had 15 in the park the last numerous years, haven't we?
Through this
This
year, yes.
and now we're going to add that extra area. Is those 15 access permits gonna get our objective that we're trying to do while we're adding that southern unit and the eastern side of the park? You know, we were basically in the park with those access permits. Now we're adding all that land on the outside, but we're not increasing the access permits. Is that going to be enough to do what we want for them landowners down there that are complaining about their deer being gone, and we need a more harvest down in the southern hills, but we're just taking the 15 tags out of the park and moving them to the southern hills? Is it going to obtain our objective, what we're trying to do there with only 15?
Through the chair?
Yes.
So the table in the action sheet has the five-year average on those 15 permits. Seven mountain lions were harvested. The main reason being there's been intensive harvest pressure in Custer State Park for quite a while now, and that we've seen that success rate go down. So eight permits went unfilled. We're hoping that we see a higher success rate with this expanded area, and a lot of those harvests occur outside of Custer State Park. Without knowing exactly where that harvest is going to occur, I'm not sure, but hopefully we can get some of that harvest in those areas where the landowners mentioned they've either seen lions or would like to potentially have increased lion harvest. But if the average went from 8 and 100% were successful because they've got more time, we would have eight additional lions harvested just this past year. That would represent a 15% of the total harvest. So while eight by itself might sound like a small number, it's a relatively high number compared to the total Black Hills harvest. But again, I guess it depends on who you ask of whether that's enough and how many lions are down there.
Additional questions, comments from the commission? We do need to move forward to make this a proposal, which Andrew mentioned would be taken up during our September meeting in Rapid City. Motion made by Commissioner Beast, seconded by Commissioner White. Comments on that motion? Seeing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? It is approved and will move forward as a proposal. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, very good. And now we're